This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and this is the Wellness Foreplay segment of the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. It's a show that's passionate, and we try and help you take control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve for very near right till the end. And the Wellness Foreplay segment, well, it aims to make your getting well and staying well as much fun and as much joy as most people would have in other types of foreplay. Yeah, the goal for all of this Wellness Foreplay segment and the other segments on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show is to let you know that you have control. That's why walnuts are a great snack. It's why water and coffee and chocolate-covered nuts and our Wellness Foreplay bars are all healthy for you and decrease your risk of other things that inhibit your staying well and getting well. So Wellness Foreplay means just what it is. It's a joy before and keeping you well. The segment today, it's really an exciting one. You're going to want to listen to this. It's about olive oil radically, really major way, decreasing breast cancer. I'm not going to tell you how much because it's so much that you won't believe it. And guys, by the way, you want to pay attention to this too because what's found for breast cancer is normally found for prostate cancer. Next week's segment, and we're going to try and tease them every week. Next week's segment is about laboratory testing. What laboratory test should you get at what age, and what do you do with the information? But let's start the show with our Wellness Foreplay segment. What about olive oil and breast cancer? How'd they do the study? Take it away, Sonar.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As we say, it's a show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live as young as you want. We have a wonderful show to you. Great guest. At least what promises to be a great guest. Because she has written a book that, if you will, if you start out with it, you say, I'm not going to read the rest of this book. And I normally read at least half of the books for half of each of the books we have on. And you say, I'm not going to, this is really getting boring. And that's only for about 4 pages. If you get beyond those 4 pages, this book, Wendy Suzuki, so maybe skip the first 4 pages, but Wendy Suzuki's book, Suzuki, Healthy Brain, Happy Life, is sensational because she goes through so many things. She has these brain hacks teaching you what to do. It's actually a very, very stimulating and interesting book. And she has done a lot personally to improve or increase our understanding of memory and of all the positive aspects of memory. So I think this is a wonderful, wonderful book. Wendy Suzuki will be our guest at the bottom of the hour, Healthy Brain, Happy Life. In the meantime, what we'll talk about in both the first and the second hour, we have 2 hours. Many of you don't get the second hour. Some of you don't even get the first hour. Well, I'll repeat some of both in each hour, but you can always get them on replay at Radio MD, where those call me letters means stay well, RadioMD.com. Go to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the archives, and you can find all 15 years of this show. 15 years we've been doing it. In September is our 15th birthday. We start our 16th year on the last weekend of September. Pretty amazing, actually. Healthy Brain, Happy Life at the bottom of the hour. Activate your brain and do everything better. A personal program to do that from Wendy Suzuki. We're going to find out what she rates as the most important things, or she says everything is equal. She goes through physical activity, stress management, even some of the brain training games, as well as food. We'll find out how she rates those in relative order and see if she comes up with the same order we do. We'll start out with testosterone and estrogen progestin. Testosterone is what a lot of guys use, and it said, well, does it cause increased heart disease, increased aging of your arteries? What are the downsides to it? Estrogen, progestin for women, Does it increase heart attacks, strokes? Does it decrease your longevity? Well, I'm going to tell you that I think the data is pretty poor on both of those being a negative, and strong on both of those being positive for you, especially in quality of life. But you've got to take two baby aspirin with them no matter what. And we're going to talk a little bit about the war on testosterone and the war on estrogen progestin and why there would be such a war. The second we'll talk about is spicing up your diet for a longer life. A study suggests that's right, 14% reduction in all-cause mortality by the more spices you eat. We're then going to talk about the mind diet. More data came out this week that is a diet for your mind showing it slows cognitive decline. So this is a lot about the brain today. Speaking about the brain and one other good piece of news, and there are a lot of good pieces of news about the brain, the study finds no link between teen marijuana use and mental health issues. So we'll talk about that also, hopefully in the first show. In the second hour, we're going to talk, if we don't get a chance in the first hour, about several studies in kids. One, an expert panel withholds support for early autism screening. What that means is they said there just wasn't enough data. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't get your child screened. Early diagnosis definitely leads to better outcome. The question is, does screening lead to earlier diagnosis? There isn't a lot of good randomized control data on that. That doesn't mean it doesn't do it. It just means we don't have enough data. When the American Academy of Pediatrics, all the pediatricians were asked about this, they said, of course you should get screened. Early diagnosis leads to better treatment, and it's likely if you get screened early, you get better treatment. Then we're going to talk also in the second hour about head injuries in children. They're linked to longer-term attention problems. It's a new type of ADHD, if you will, a new type of ADHD from trauma. As you saw, I don't know if you saw in the newspaper, if you follow the sports pages you did, the San Francisco 49ers are almost without part of their defense. Five defensive guys have either gotten arrested or have quit because they don't want to risk the concussions. Is that what's going to happen? What are we going to do with all the concussions in football? Is football going to be left standing at the end of this time? Key point segment in the second hour, we'll talk about sleep. Is it the most underrated health habit? We think so. And then we're going to talk about yo-yo dieting. You know, there are a lot of studies on yo-yo dieting, and most of them show that you increase your risk of death rather than decreasing it. That is, trying and failing is a worse thing than not trying at all. That is, obese people do better than those who lose weight, gain it back, lose weight, gain it back, lose weight, gain it back. But that's for big losses, and this was a new study that looked at it in a large number of people for cancer, and they found no increased cancer risk, no increased problem from a lot of dieting, yo-yo dieting. And then the last thing we'll talk about is picky eating in children. That is, not eating very much, and it's linked to anxiety, depression, and ADHD or attention deficit disorder. That's really a top story. Does picky eating lead to these medical problems? So when we get really into this studies this week, those are the studies we're going to concentrate on. We are going to talk first about testosterone and estrogen progestin. Is there reason to avoid testosterone if you're a guy, or estrogen progestin if you're a woman? And what is the risk of doing that? We'll be back after we... Actually, beforehand, I want to talk a little bit more about the book at the bottom of the hour. It's Wendy Suzuki's book, Activate Your Brain and Do Everything Better, a personal program to healthy brain, happy life. Wendy Suzuki is a tenured professor at NYU in neuroscience who did a lot of the early work on memory and exercise increasing memory. So she calls herself How a Geeky Girl Fell in Love with the Brain, the Science of Neuroplasticity and Enrichment. And what she means by that is that she was a geeky scientist who only spent time on science, didn't spend time on herself, didn't spend time on the world, knew nothing about the rest of the world, with the exception of maybe food and wine. Well, she talks about food, wine, and all what were called brain hacks. Now, I don't know what a brain hack is in definition, but what it looks like a brain hack is a hack into your brain and finding a way to improve your brain function. So Wendy Suzuki is the author and the champion memory person that we're going to have on. She talks a lot about, for example, the TED talk, where a guy came in and said these 14 things, and by association, that is, you can associate things with what the memory items. So she talks about I'll see if I can find the exact list of 10 things, but it's fascinating how these 10 things, it's easy to remember 10 or 15 things if you do associations with them. We'll be back shortly on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We'll talk about how she discovered this, how she got interested in this, and the mystery of memory hitting home on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay sharp and learn more about your memory. We'll be right back.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Well, I guess it's 3 weeks in a row we've had technical glitches with our program. I've got some emails saying that we're on and off and on again. And off again. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep broadcasting it as though we're on, and I apologize. You should be able to get us on the archives, worst comes to worst, in several days. In any case, the point that we wanted to bring up is there's a major study out this week that looks at breast cancer incidence in women aged 50 to 80. That's the age range at which women are most likely to get breast cancer and men are most likely to get prostate cancer. Why am I bringing up prostate cancer? Because what happens for women with breast cancer or men with prostate cancer usually reverberates to the other group. They're both hormone sensitive. They both have the multiple genetic links, but they both have a lot of environmental play. And this study was a study of over 4,000 women in a study to look at the incidence of heart disease with a change in diet. So these people were all on a Spanish diet, that is, they were from Spain, and they were randomly allocated to three groups. One group got the standard Spanish diet, but with a instruction and increasing instruction after 2006. The study was from 2004, and it was stopped in 2010 because of the great difference in heart attack and stroke rates between groups. We'll come back to that in a second. But one group had just the standard diet with instructions to emphasize fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fish, and to decrease the amount of saturated fat in the diet. The second group was given a leader for their family, and assuming it's a family of four, we'll come back to that. So a liter of olive oil a week, extra virgin olive oil, was Spanish olive oil, which is usually pure. And in fact, this was a study that, so if there are four people in the family, you get 250 milliliters each, which divided by 7 days means about 35 milliliters a day, which is about an ounce, a little more than an ounce, maybe an ounce and a quarter, ounce and a half of olive oil per family member. So not a huge amount, but enough to mean that that's what you're having is your major fat in the diet. And the third group got a half an ounce of walnuts, a quarter of an ounce of almonds, a quarter of an ounce of hazelnuts a day. And in the cardiovascular group, both groups, both the olive oil group and the nut group, had a 30 to 35% reduction
in heart attacks and strokes, mostly strokes, among the people over this 4.8-year period. This is a huge decrease in cardiovascular events. Well, after the fact, they said, let's look at cancers. And they looked at five cancers, but the one they reported on was breast cancer. I expect to see a report on prostate cancer, even though there were more women in the study than men. We expect to eventually get that report. But on the women's group for breast cancer, there was a 62%. That's huge. Not 6.2, 62. That is more than half of the invasive breast cancers were prevented or were decreased in the olive oil group, about 38% decrease in the nut group. Now, the nuts had, you remember, the olive oil group had about 20% of their total calories they got from olive oil, only about 10% in the nuts. Maybe if you increase that, and in fact, they said in the paper that it was not until they got 15% of their calories from olive oil that they started to see this decrease in breast cancer. And I think we'll probably see something on prostate cancer pretty soon on this from this study. Anyway, this is a huge decrease. Now, why does it do it? Well, it's rich in oleic acid. So when people say, is olive oil good for heart disease? You bet it is. Compared to the standard diet, 62% reduction is just huge. If you look at reduction in cardiovascular, it was a 30% reduction in stroke rate and 30% reduction in heart attacks from olive oil. So those are huge decreases in cardiovascular events, and there's a huge decrease, a mammoth decrease, 62% in breast cancer. Is there any side effect of olive oil? No, other than the increased calories. So what you do is you cut down the other fat. So we should all be using extra virgin olive oil. Now, whether it's the stuff with the extra virgin, which has some phytonutrients with it, or whether it is the oil content, we aren't sure. I think it may be a little of both. Now, that's the same with walnuts. They have great fat, omega-3 fat, but they also have a lot of other things in the walnut that helps you. So maybe it is the extra virgin olive oil, maybe it is the oil, maybe it is the oil in the nuts, or maybe it is the total food. Doesn't matter. What it means to me is that you should cut out other fats in your diet and use olive oil, and you should cut out, if you will, calories in snacks and go to walnuts and almonds and hazelnuts, especially walnuts. In any case, that's my impression from this large study. Now, we usually don't report until four studies. We don't tell you to change habits until four studies. But there are enough studies on olive oil that I think if you're going to have oil in your diet, olive oil is the one to have. Now, Dr. Esselstyn, let me give another point of view. Dr. Esselstyn would say, you shouldn't have any oil added to your diet because everything is bad, and this is just a reduction from a very bad oil by a slightly less bad oil. I personally don't think that's true. I think olive oil has a extra benefit, as do walnuts, and so I'm true believers in those as a beneficial fat. Let me do one quick hitter before we have to go to a break at the bottom of the hour. And by the way, at the bottom of the hour, we have a great guest talking about medicine in Cuba and the Cuban, a huge benefit we may get from Cuba in learning about much less expensive, but just as effective, maybe more effective medicine. And in the next hour, I'm going to talk a lot about population and the baby boom and pregnancy rates. But first, gluten diet, randomized controlled trial of gluten versus gluten-free diet. The gluten-free diet had no benefit for autism. So a lot of benefits for autism, a lot of studies showing that prenatal multivitamins taken 3 months before you get pregnant, decrease autism rates by about 40%. Other studies showing that avoiding well water, if you're in, and to get, if you will, purified bottled water, especially if you're pregnant, eating organic when you're pregnant, decrease birth defects. So those are things. The only time to really buy organic that we really know makes a difference is during pregnancy. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay tuned because we have a spectacular guest at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Resnick, who is the director of the Biomedical Neuroscience Training Program at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Chicago, talks about the university's and Cuba's exchange program and how we're learning an awful lot from Cuba about how to practice medicine inexpensively, yet extremely well. We'll be right back. Remember, stay well and take control of your genes.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why?
Thank you.
Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy.
I'm sure.
Veggie fries. Yep. Healthy because they're made with
Hi.
Vegetables. You can choose from
Mark?
Broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper.
Yeah, hold on. You wanted me to do that. Speaker, right? I'm Mark, yeah.
Hi, Dr. Resnick. How are you?
Hi, okay. Mark,
good.
Mark is fine.
Is Resnick or Resnick?
Resnick.
How do you pronounce it?
Resnick.
Resnick, great. And I'll just ask you questions if there's a website to throw to. Is there a website to throw to?
You mean concerning Cuba and Cuban health?
Yes, or Cuba and the U.S. exchange you're doing.
You know, there is something on AAAS's website about the exchange, but I don't know the exact website. If they look up AAAS and look at Cuba, they'd be able to find something.
Okay, I'll try and do it. In any case, we should have fun, and there are two segments, a 10-minute segment and an 8-minute segment or 7-minute segment, and if I don't get to something you want to cover, let me know in the first segment, and at the end of the first segment, we'll get to it in the second segment.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much. One of the things I would like to get to, though, is the fact that even though we've loosened up a lot of regulations, we still have an embargo on what it means.
Again, that is DrSuzanne.com. We still have an embargo on
Cuba.
Sorry,
you know, I mean, yes, we can now travel a little more freely, but not completely. So I, you know, certainly like to deliver the political message and the importance of people working to end the embargo against the Cuban people.
Great. Good. We will do it. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, yeah, I'm sure you'll feel likewise. But it's just that everyone thinks that everything's taken care of now, and it's not.
Okay, I will do it.
Okay, and then where are you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Cleveland. I'm at the Cleveland Clinic. And it turns out our satellite uplink is in suburban Chicago.
Yeah, and I saw the waterfall.
We're covered by 33 terrestrial stations, and then it goes on the internet as well.
Okay. All right, great. And you'll send me a link. Every
39 seconds. It's easy. RadioMD.com. And just
RadioMD.com. That's it. Okay.
And look for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and it should be live as we do it.
Okay, well, that sounds great, but I'm not going to listen to it live.
Good. Actually, it repeats in 2 hours, so you can listen to it 2 hours from now.
Okay. All right.
To control blood pressure or cholesterol.
And then you're going to ask how I started, how I got into this.
Salt, fat, and cholesterol.
Absolutely.
And full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week.
And I'm sitting out on my deck smoking a Cuban cigar as we're talking.
While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next.
Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that lets you know how to take control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. We have someone who's actually been involved in learning from another group, that is from Cuba. Dr. Mark Resnick, who is the professor of physiology and biophysics and psychiatry and director of the biomedical neuroscience training program at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, has been traveling to Cuba to learn what they have and teach them some of what we have. Dr. Resnick, biomedical researcher and a neuroscientist, how did you get possibly involved in this stuff with Cuba?
Well, I think it was 20 years ago now, our university had sponsored a delegation to go to Cuba, and they had asked me to go with. The group was basically clinicians, and they had asked us to send our CVs ahead of time. And I, when they saw mine, they asked if I would come and give lectures, so that I was kind of broken off from the group. But what it turns out is the two brothers that run the Cuban Neuroscience Center are Chicago natives. They lived here until they were 11. That's Peter and Mitchell Valdez Sosa. And they said to me, when they went to the beach at Varadero, he said, why don't you stay with us? You know, learn about us and let's get to know one another. And that really was the start of this. We've put on three meetings since then, actually four, and we've been able to really learn about one another and try and move forward with some limited collaboration, limited, of course, by the embargo.
So it was really friendship that started this, and we ought to talk a little bit about the embargo. I had some relatives who were in Havana in 1956, and they said the medicine, the quality of life there was as advanced or more advanced than it was in Miami, Florida, where some of the rest of their family lived. And then all of a sudden, whatever happened. And, if you will, the medicine there, I suppose, because of the financial restrictions, they had to learn to practice a less expensive form of medicine.
I think that's a trenchant comment. They did have to learn to practice a less expensive form of medicine. I'm not sure how much less effective it is. Certainly, things are rustic. If you went to the hospital, you'd probably need to bring your own sheets. Otherwise, you'd be staying on a lawn chair that was taken from one of the large hotels. However, the sophistication of the docs is pretty decent. And one of the wonderful things is that since there are so many primary care doctors there, there's very good records. And people have records that dating back to birth, and they're quite complete, so that each patient could be understood on a better level than a lot of people here, especially those who are elderly.
Now, what I learned in listening to travel messages and Airbnb is, in fact, there are something like 3 million Americans are traveling to Cuba this year because they want to see it in the old state before McDonald's and everybody else comes in, but there's a difficulty of hotel rooms. Is this increase in tourism leading to a increased ability to import and export medical, what I would call devices and information from them, or is there still a relative embargo on that?
Well, as long as we have the embargo, no, we really can't bring in compounds. I know that I do psychopharmacology, and I remember one of the psychiatrists said to me, well, in Cuba, we don't have psychopharmacology. We have psychopharmacology because we have five drugs. That's gotten a little better. They didn't even have SSRIs until the patent started expiring and they could start making them. They haven't been able to really work with many of the international companies because they have at least strong presence in the U.S. And if you have a strong presence in the U.S., you can't really do business with Cuba. We tried to get an MRI machine years ago, and were not able to get one, even from the European companies, because they felt that that would violate the embargo. They actually made their own with it's a 0.15 Tesla machine run by two PCs hooked together, and they had two, one in Havana and one in Santiago. They did recently just get one from the Netherlands, a full 3T machine that they can do functional MRI. But that was just happened.
So 3T meaning three Tesla.
Three Tesla, yeah. So the kind of power that you need in order to do functional imaging. Okay, but they just got it in last September. They inaugurated the new neuroscience center with this machine.
But they've also had in neuroscience, as I read what you've done in the American Association of Scientists, the AAS, they've also done some very good work with lower cost medicine and with vaccines. Can you help us understand that?
Absolutely. But one of the things that would be wonderful if we could bring here is a compound called Heberprot-P, H-E-B-E-R-P-R-O-T-P. And that's a recombinant or a bacterial produced epidermal growth factor. And what they do with the epidermal growth factor is inject it into wounds. And they've been able to significantly reduce the number of amputations due to wounds in diabetics that won't heal, and also been able to heal bed sores in a lot of the elderly that just can't move and have these sores that are persistent and very nasty. So that's a very inexpensive.
Epidermal, which implies the surface layers of our body or the epidermis and of other tissues, of course, that growth factor seems to be a magic that Cuba has discovered and developed and is able to be used to help healing. Is that what I understand?
That's absolutely correct. They inject it directly into the wound, and they're able to get significant healing where, as you know, with diabetics, that's extremely difficult and often leads to amputation. So that would
You're involved in neuroscience program, so there must be something relating to neuroscience that is relatively unique and wonderful there compared to here, because I understand you're very interested in a couple of things. So can you talk to us about those neuroscience advances?
Absolutely. One of the things that they've really excelled in is brain mapping. In fact, they are world class in this regard. And what they do, what they've been able to do, is use electroencephalography, which is very low-cost technology, maybe $10,000 for a machine. And they manufacture the machines themselves, which are sold everywhere in the world except the U.S. And what they do with these images that are collected, if you could imagine wearing a bathing cap with 128 electrodes on it, you would be sitting with a bathing cap and asked to do certain things. And basically, the brain waves are collected at the surface of the brain. So it's completely non-invasive technology. They take the information that they got from reading these brain waves and then are able to feed it into a computer and develop a map for the activity of the brain and or the disruptions of activity of the brain. So one of the things that would be great for in rural America is to be able to look at a patient using this low-cost technology, send the information to a center where they can have a more sophisticated diagnosis, and then decide whether someone can be treated there or needs to be transported. And that would be, and certainly that would be a great boon for us if we would be willing to work with them to develop this.
Now, we have a question from one of our listeners. What about cancer? Is there differences in cancer rates between, for example, Cuba and us? And when we come back, that's the question we'll cover, because we're going to a hard break with some of our sponsors, so I hope people stay tuned. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the changes in cancer rates on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, Radio MD. Stay tuned.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As the announcer said, a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes. We're talking with Dr. Mark Resnick, a professor of physiology and biophysics and psychiatry at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Chicago, and a leader in our scientific exchanges with Cuba and in learning about Cuban medicine and what they've been able to do in a restricted economic area and doing very good work. Now, Professor Resnick, tell us about what's been done in cancer, because I think they've done something quite remarkable. Is that right?
Well, they certainly have some interesting things that they've been moving in, and right now there has been an agreement announced between the Roswell Park Cancer Center in Buffalo and the Center for Molecular Immunology, where they develop cancer vaccines. So, before break, we mentioned cancer rates. They're not that different in the U.S. and Cuba. We have a little over 300 per 100,000. They have a little over 200 per 100,000. I'm not sure what that means and what that's due to. The relative life expectancy is about comparable in both countries. Their infant mortality is a little better than us. Let's talk about cancer, though. The cancer vaccines are something that the Cubans have been working on for a long time. How effective are they? Well, I have a colleague who was with an advanced lung cancer who was being treated at the University of Chicago. And he was told by his doctor there that he should try the vaccine. They had a trial there, but he couldn't guarantee that he wouldn't be in the control group. So his doctor actually suggested that he go to Cuba and get the vaccine. Unfortunately, he died. What I guess it's going to be up to, you said something about taking control of your genes, is that when we finally figure out who it is and which cancers will respond best to the vaccine, then we'll be in good shape, and the Cubans will be in great shape because they've been working on it for a long time. But that's
now,
really
what
an advantage.
What's the advantage they have in vaccines? Why did they develop these? What did they see in them? And how did they develop them differently than what we're trying to do?
Well, they've been working on it for a lot longer. They've been working on other things involving the immune system for a lot longer, too. When I was a postdoctoral fellow, I remember interferon was the rage, and this was in the late 70s and early 80s. Everyone kind of dropped it. The Cubans kept working with it. In fact, one of the very interesting things that the Cubans have done in terms of science and scientific research is that during the heart of what they called the special period, the collapse of the Soviet Union, they continued to put the meager funds they had into doing research. And it was claimed that if they didn't, this is something that Fidel himself had said, was if they didn't do research, they would never, if they stopped their research, they would lag behind and never catch up. So even though they didn't have money for toilet paper, they had money for EEG recordings in the lab that they had the paper for that, and then they would recycle it. And I think this is an important choice that they've made that allowed them to maintain a certain amount of quality. Why did they go in the direction of vaccines? Well, remember, vaccines aren't that expensive, okay? So that for a lot of pharma, it really, the payoff isn't there, okay? And that's not something that motivates the Cuban system.
Now, one of the things that is interesting is there's still, I think in what you told me is there still is a problem in collaborating with Cuba in that we still have an embargo on. Can you talk to that and what we can do to help, what our listeners can do to help get rid of that?
Absolutely. So that the president has done pretty much all that he can to facilitate travel. I think he could do a little more on really ending the travel ban, but we still are limited in the amount of money we can spend and transfer. And we're limited by statute. In other words, this is Congress. This is not the president. And if Congress, it would behoove, I think, all of America, as well as the Cubans, to lift the embargo completely and allow us to spend money there and allow us to do kind of the kind of collaboration, to allow pharma to come in and do clinical trials in a place that where we have a population that looks kind of like the U.S., where everyone is black, white, or somewhere in between, and have great medical records. I mean, we could learn a lot by being able to do clinical trials in a place where we really know a lot about the people and would be able to select appropriately for trials. We could learn a lot. We could learn a lot by doing science together, by doing all kinds of things where we have mutual interest. Cancer vaccines might be one of them. I'm not talking about just clinical development, but the preclinical work that we could do if we joined forces. But we can't do that unless we can begin to spend money there, and we can't spend money there unless we have the embargo. We tried to get a 3T machine. An American university was willing to donate one, and we were going to try and get it to the Cubans so that they could do research with it. But we were prohibited, so we couldn't get a license to send it there because it could be used for some... they said it could be weaponized. Now, I don't know how an MRI machine could be weaponized unless you dropped it on somebody. But
we should say it is very heavy.
Yes, but that was the tenor of the embargo. We were really working with a system that just doesn't allow that to happen. And even now, when we try, and I think there's a general understanding on the part of the American people that it would be a good thing to end the embargo and that it would be good for us and good for them. But we can't, we have to move forward. And it's not a partisan issue. I mean, certainly conservative legislatures from agricultural states could see a great benefit in sending crops to the Cubans to use for food. I mean, we have a surplus. Why not get some money from it?
So the embargo is as I understand, a congressional problem that we have to overcome.
Yes, the final nail.
So the message is we have to write our Congress, our senators, and our representatives.
Yes, and say let's get rid of this thing. It's archaic. It doesn't exist anywhere in the world, and these people really aren't our enemy.
And you clearly have brought forth a lot of interesting information and science to us. So I want to thank you for speaking so strongly about the benefits of this collaboration. Hopefully you're going to be continuing it and continue to bring more information. I hope you'll come back on the show and talk to us more about the vaccines as their development expands. And even some about epidermal growth factor as it comes to the United States. Thanks very much, Dr. Mark Resnick, professor at the University of Illinois. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual on Radio MD. Stay well.